A weekly comprehensive look inside high school athletics around the state. On 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge. From the recruiting trails to the offices of the LHSAA, we'll have you covered. Now, here's Kate Wazin, Todd Black, and Jimmy Roy.
Good evening and welcome to Louisiana Prep Weekly here live from Slits and Giggles underneath the Perkins Road overpass. Kate Wazin, Jimmy Roy, and Todd Black on assignment tonight. We are welcoming in the Zachary Broncos, the Slits and Giggles.
They're quiet.
They are quiet.
Brought the cheerleaders and they're quiet.
I see you in the quarterfinals. I think they'd be a little more hyped up than that.
Have a packed house, though.
Okay. Got a big game coming up, as we will get to in just a bit. But, of course, this is the place to be on Friday night, Saturday night, Sundays. Anytime there's a big game, come out to Slits and Giggles here underneath the Perkins Road overpass. 196-inch flat screen right behind us. Catch all the games before, during, and after. Bring your team, your family, your friends. Great pizza, great paninis, wraps, salads as well, and cold beverages to wash it all down.
Without a doubt. Come Saturday night, Tiger Stadium. It'll be packed. Come over here. Check it out. You got to play Sunday night football, great place to hang out.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll look forward to having Coach David Brewerton on here in just a bit, head coach of the Zachary Broncos, as well as our Raising Cane Student Athlete of the Week, cornerback P.J. Cannon. And we'll talk to them in some detail a little bit later on this hour. Let's go ahead and get to a couple of highlights from this past week. And we'll start first with the game we heard on our radio station and the reason we didn't start the school board show until about 10:30 or so on Friday night. Catholic High beats Brother Martin 49-41 in a game that kind of switched the role reversal a little bit on what happened here in Baton Rouge last season.
Well, exactly 2 years ago, Catholic High was stopped short on a two-point conversion. This time they turned it. I thought a couple of interesting facts in that ball game was Catholic High and Brother Martin, neither team punted in the first half. They both ended up with punting on one possession. Tommy Moffitt's son, Aaron Moffitt, made two game-changing plays, one in the last play of the first half where they called a timeout when Brother Martin was fixing to kick a 41-yard field goal. They made an adjustment in their scheme. Aaron Moffitt gets the block of the field goal right there, denies Brother Martin of 3 points, and then at the end stops the running back on a two-point conversion just short of the goal line. So two huge plays by Aaron Moffitt. First, last play of the game, last play of the half. And, you know, the offense for both teams, talked with Coach Eric Held a little bit today, and it was just a track meet. I mean, you couldn't stop them. Listening to the guys on the radio, Matt and those guys, in the first half alone, Brother Martin had over 400 yards of offense, almost 500 yards. So that was incredible against a very good Catholic High defense. But they really contained Swilling. Swilling, you look at his numbers, he had 170-something yards. But over 100 came in two plays, one with a 70-something-plus run, one with a 30-plus run. So other than that, in the first half he had, I think it was 19 carries for 138 yards, and he ended up with like 20-something carries for only 179. So they actually did a really good job of containing Swillings in the second half.
Speaking of running backs, Clyde Edwards-Elair was hurt in the second half, so we saw limited role. We saw increased role for James Berrigan and for Ian Bryan, who's tucked and run the football a little bit more this year.
Well, they're used to it now with Clyde Edwards-Elair going out early in the year, missing a game and a half with injuries. And if you recall correctly, that is when Catholic High took off. That's when their offense started hitting on all cylinders. I thought Catholic High at that point had too much of a focus on how many touches he got in a ball game to where their offense evolved to getting other people involved in it.
Yeah.
And I really thought that part of the season is what made Catholic High go on the run that they have.
It was a very good game, and as you are aware, we are the home for Catholic High football. You can hear Catholic High on the road on Friday to face Evangel. That will be on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge. U High, I say on the road, down the street at Parkview Baptist. We've seen this one before. We're moving it to our sister station, Eagle 98.1. So a little bit of a change of venue because of LSU women's basketball. We'll hear that game on Eagle 98.1 on Friday night at 7 o'clock. And a game we talked about in detail at the beginning of the season because we knew at least we'd see one, if not another pair, of these two teams getting together. It's the sixth time. And I know the team will try to not say it. I know Coach Maye won't point to it, but they're 0-5 against the Cubs, and, you know, record stands for itself.
They are. They're 0-5, this one being the sixth one. The big thing that Coach Maye has to sell to his team, that it doesn't matter if they're 0-5. UHI's not getting any points put on the board Friday night from those five ball games, so it's going to start 0-0. If they play 10 times and UHI beats them 9, it doesn't matter. Coach Maye has to sell his group that they have to be better than them for 3 hours on that given night, and anything else doesn't matter. You know, the old saying is you're only as good as you are today, and that holds true on Friday nights. It doesn't matter what you did in the past. You take Zachary, and, you know, they're 11-1, had a great season, but whatever they did on these past 12 weeks, it don't matter Friday night because none of that's going to count towards it. So I think Coach Maye has to do a really good job of selling his guys on that, getting them to believe in it's all about this Friday night and not the past. UHI, on the other hand, I think they need to get out to a great start. If they get out to a great start, the first thing it's going to do is put doubt in Parkview's head. You know, man, they beat us 6 times, here they go again. So key for UHI is to get off to a quick start, put some points up early, make Parkview struggle a little bit, and then Parkview just can't let the past affect what happens that night.
The winner of that game will play the winner of Turtlings Catholic and St. Thomas More. So still a fairly interesting bracket on that side. Select Division II semifinals this week. Another game I wanted to look at real quick before we go to our break. Scotlandville falls to Mandeville in last week's round 2 of the Class 5A playoffs, 42-41, a game that Coach Valdez decided to go for 2. They didn't get it, but he wanted to go for the win. You know, this is a team that's fought hard all year. Well, we've seen them play so much more improved in all the aspects of that football team.
Well, one thing you never want to do, you don't want to second-guess Coach Valdez's decision, for sure. First off, as a coach, I'm never going to question that. He knows his teams a whole lot better than we do. So, of course, everybody's going to ask him, why didn't you kick the extra point? Why didn't you kick it? He may not have that good of a kicker. I don't know his personnel like he does. So, for him to go for the win, he had confidence in him. It was a track meet type ball game. Mandeville had only given up 40 points in one game, and that was week 3 to UHI. So, he felt like he had to win it there. I'm never going to question the coach in making that decision. He's the guy who has the pulse on his team. So, he's had a heck of a year, Coach Valdez has. He really has. He's changed a lot of the discipline around. They're a very, very talented team. It did kind of shock me that they did lose this game, but I surely can't question him going for 2 there.
Lots of big plays for Levi Lewis in this offense. Touchdown passes of 65 and 79 yards. Had a couple of eight plays or so of 15 or more yards. And defensively for Mandeville, they gave up their second highest point total of the season. So it was guns a-blazing for the Hornets who made it.
And that's been Scotlandville's MO the whole year. I mean, that's what they've done. You go back to the Zachary game, and we got to see a part of it. What, I don't know if Coach Brewer can remember, they had like 6 plays combined, or you know, it was over like 50, right, around 50 yards or plus in the first half alone before we had to leave. So that's how Scotlandville's made their living. It doesn't surprise me. Scoring that many against Mandeville may have, but heck, they put up over 40 in, I think, 7 of their ball games going into the game Friday night. So
you got to have your head up if you are a Scotlandville Hornet fan alumni, okay, with the way things are going around.
And look, Coach Valdez got this program 2 weeks before they started.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he did an unbelievable job.
Star-studded night tonight, because not only do we have the Zachary Broncos in the house, we got Coach Josh.
Coach Josh is in the house.
Here, hanging out with us.
From West Side.
Oh, they got a road trip this week, or are they home?
Yeah, they got a road trip. They go to T.C. Williams in Virginia for the state to playoffs.
It's going to be cold for that football game. He's Jimmy Roy, Cade Wise here. This is Louisiana Prep Weekly, presented by GMFS. Don't forget to tune us in on Friday night for the Louisiana Prep Preview Show at 6 o'clock, and then following the Catholic High on the road against Evangel. We'll have a full 2 hours of Louisiana Prep School Board Joe, presented by Lake After Hours and Lake Urgent Care. A reminder from our friends over at Lake After Hours, Lake Urgent Care, open on Thanksgiving Day. Open through some Thanksgiving hours. So they are making sure you're good and taken care of during this holiday season. Everybody walking around, a little bit of the sniffles, a little bit of the cough, and I want to make sure you're good to go throughout the holidays. So appreciate what they do for us. We'll take a time out. We'll be right back here to Slits and Giggles, and we'll welcome in Coach David Brewerton. When we return, this is Louisiana Prep Weekly, 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
This is Coach Todd of the Week.
This is Louisiana Prep Weekly on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge. Coach of the Week, presented by Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers.
All right, welcome back to Schlitz and Giggles here underneath the Perkins Road overpass. Kate Wazan, Jimmy Roy, and now our special guest, Zachary Hyatt, football coach, everybody, David Fullerton.
It's a good thing they didn't have an election up in Zachary this month. I think Coach Brewerton would defeat any incumbents.
Definitely. Absolutely. Coach Brewerton, good to have you back here on the show. Looking at what you guys have done so far in the postseason, I really want to pinpoint your defense and what it did against Dutchtown and its run game, holding them to just a real minimum of yards in the first half and the second half of the game. I remember a moment I was able to go see the game against Sulphur. They had a nice fairly decent kickoff return, but your offense, your defense kind of got together and made a stand. You know, they didn't give up the big plays. Didn't, I don't know, if I'm not mistaken, they didn't give up a touchdown. And they've had a tendency, maybe if there's a big play here or there, that's maybe a bend but not break mentality. And I want you to talk about what your defense has done and the improvements it's made into the postseason.
Well, I think on the backside of our defense, it was probably a situation where there's some really young guys filling in some graduated spots from last year and took some games to get comfortable back there. But week in and week out, Coach Stephen Thomas and his defensive staff have done a tremendous job of putting game plans together. We played collectively in all three phases of the game our best game last week against Dutchtown. Dutchtown had four offensive drives the entire first half with 22 total yards of offense. So our defense was played really, really well. And they were locked in all week, and I could see that we were going to play well on defense Friday.
Coach Brewerton, you were quoted in the papers after the Parkview scrimmage, the Jamboree game against West Feliciana, that you felt this team felt like they were entitled.
Right.
When did you start seeing that change? Because obviously they changed what they did after the first couple of weeks.
Right. Well, we had to get back to what was successful for us a year ago, and that's trying to play physical ball. And when you take on that philosophy, you don't just get to do it sometimes. You got to do it all the time. And so, with that many guys coming back and the experience level we had coming back, we knew we had a chance to be a good team, but we wanted to be great, and we had to get to that point. But I felt like our guys, just coming into the season, felt like we were better than we actually were. We had to go back to work and get some things taken care of.
All the talk's been about Lindsey Scott, Doug Coleman, Terry Sullivan, and all that's well-deserved. But a group that goes unnoticed and a group that I know is close to your heart is your O-line, and they're led by Kelton Hollins, the TCU commit, Blake Anderson. I want you to talk about those guys because, honestly, that's where the games are won and lost.
Well, I'll tell you, when we took the job a year and a half ago, I'm an O-line guy, and so when we began to put in our offense, I felt like I needed to go be with the offensive line a lot. I was nervous about who the guy was, Jason Davis. I didn't know anything about him, I spent about 2 days over there, and then I took my hands off of it because Jason does a great job with our O-line guys. So that was huge. I mean, to have that experience level there coming back has been big. But you're right, Kelton is a TCU commit at center. Trevor Jackson at right tackle is a returning starter. On the other side, Dominique Holden at the left tackle is a returning starter. Blake Anderson is a sophomore. He's going to be a big-time lineman for us. And then Dylan Honore and Terrell Turner holding down the guard spot. They did a great job last week. Our run game was very successful against Dutchtown.
You talk about Hollins being committed to TCU,
right,
changing coaching staff at Syracuse just recently, right, Lindsey being committed there. I'm sure that's going to open up his commitment. And I'm going to go on a public record again as saying if people do not – recruit Lindsey Scott because of 1 or 2 inches, then they're stupid. I mean, that's just the way I feel.
Right.
I mean, he's unbelievable at keeping his eyes down the field, scrambling. He's very accurate. He's the best we've seen around here in quite a while. And we've had, I've coached and seen some good ones, but he's as good as there is. There's no, you can't tell me a UL or a Louisiana Tech or a Tulane or somebody like that can't use Lindsey Scott.
I'll tell you what type of kid he is. I called him into my office this week because we did hear that the Syracuse staff got fired, and I told him, I said, listen, you know, this may change a couple things up here and there, and he stopped me, and he said, Coach, look, possibly I have three games left as a high school quarterback, and I want to do everything possible to win those three games. I'm not worried about that stuff right now. So that's the type of guy that's calling the signals for us, and that's what's made him successful so far.
Without a doubt. Let's talk a little bit about that defense that has, you know, we've been on them earlier in the year talking about the points they've given up, but come midway through district, they've really turned that around. A couple of the guys, Celestine up front, obviously, and Beardson at linebacker, yeah, really done a really good job of stopping the run.
They really have. You know, like I said, we had some experience coming back. We've dealt with a lot of injuries this year, which we did not deal with a year ago. You know, a year ago we had the same 22 starters from week 1 to week 14. So this year has been a little different where we've had to have some guys step in to different roles. You know, the first one that comes to my mind is Cameron Carrier. He's played all over the place for us. You know, on the offensive side as a tight end, but then he played defensive end. He's played defensive tackle. His first game at inside linebacker in week 10 against Walker, he's got like 14 tackles or something like that. I mean, he embodies what we're trying to do with our program.
And look, I mentioned that to Chris, not to interrupt, but before I said he's having a heck of a year, and he just goes, that's a daddy for you.
Yeah. Chris was one of those pretty players back there in the back. And Cameron plays in the box.
You know,
Cameron plays in the box. But that's what we're trying to have, you know, kids like that, that we want them to embody our program and what we're trying to do, and just knowing their role and doing whatever they can do to help win football games.
We're speaking with our Raising Cane's Coach of the Week, Zachary Hyatt, football coach David Brewerton. Coach, back over to the offensive side, not just with Lindsey Scott, but with your offense able to extend drives on 3rd and 8s, 3rd and 11s, and Lindsey's ability within himself to kind of keep looking, as Jimmy mentioned, downfield and always looking for that play. How demoralizing is that for an opponent's defense, knowing that they've put you in a situation where, I guess technically, they should make the stop, get the ball back on a punt, but you guys extend these drives, chew up the clock, and score points with them?
Right. You know, Coach Langlois and his staff on the offensive side, you rarely hear them talk about, we need to score 50 points this week. What they talk a lot about is moving the chains, and that's the things that we have been really good at offensively this entire season. And you're right, that does demoralize defenses when they feel like they're about to get off the field on third down, and then Lindsey runs around for 20 seconds back there, and we get another first down. The things that we've tried to do last week was really start to try to establish a run game early, and we felt like we did that against Dutchtown last week, and were able to really chew a lot of clock, but also put points on the board.
Also, from a standpoint of holding your team accountable, you get the win in round one against Sulphur, but you're not happy with the way the team played from a standpoint of mental mistakes. And shortly thereafter the game, there was maybe some conditioning. I just, you know, from a standpoint of knowing that, just making sure this team knows what's ahead and knows, you know, what is expected, can you talk about kind of making sure this team is held accountable?
Well, if we want to win the type of games that we want to win late in the season, you can't have those type of things. And I was not, I was not disappointed with the effort we had that night, because we played with tremendous resolve and effort that night. But I was a little upset with some of the dumb penalties that we had. And thank God they didn't have to run gassers for all the penalties we had. They only had to run the ones for the personal fouls. But I just wanted them to understand at that point, hey, look, we can win games like this. We can't win the games late in the season that we want to win with that type of play.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about Friday night. Hahnville coming in with a 9-3 record. They had three straight losses in week 3, 4, and 5 to three really good teams in Riverside, Destrehan, St. Thomas More. Since then, they've reeled off 7 straight wins. In fact, I can tell you that you're probably already well aware of. Hahnville on offense, 35 points a game. Defense gives up 19. But since the 3-game losing streak, they've averaged 45.1. Defense has only given up 13.8. What have you seen change on film that they've done? Have they changed their offensive philosophy?
Yeah,
Coach
Salt is a triple option guy.
Right.
He won a state title at East Jefferson in New Orleans running triple option. They weren't getting it done. They have big-time players at Hahnville. They always have.
Right.
And so what he's done is Lester Ricard, who's a former quarterback from Amede and Tulane, and also he played in the pros for several years. He's the offensive coordinator. He's kind of turned over the reins to him, and they're a lot more one-back gun stuff, and they're going to sling it around. And they've got tremendous athletes where they try and get them in space. And that's what they've done lately in order to win a bunch of football games.
Fits their skill set a little bit
better than what they did.
Coach, you mentioned a few of your coaches. Talk about your coach staff because you have one of the best ones in the area.
Yeah,
a lot of support from administration to be able to get those guys.
Without question. And we're very lucky, probably one of the only staffs in the state that I can think of where – we brought back the entire staff from a year ago, and that stability in the staff is huge for our kids learning our system and staying engaged in our system. On the defensive side, we talked about Stephen Thomas already as a coordinator, and Coach Jerry Garrodell and Chris Carrier and Johnny Nagel and Pat Hall on the defensive side, they do a great job. And on the offensive side, we talked about Coach Langlois already running the offense, but Coach Davis and Coach Kendall Cleveland, an ex-LSU ball player, and Mike Fuqua and Robbie Yellett, receiver coaches. It's just a lot of fun to be a part of a staff like that. We spend so many hours together. It's very important that you enjoy being with those people, and staff chemistry is huge. And we have that at Zachary, and we're very happy about that.
How important are the horseshoes on Friday night?
Well, hold on. We're going to get to that, but I know where this is going. But, hey, you got a group of lovely young ladies sitting right in front of you that a lot of people do not
– right.
They go unnoticed, but they're a important part to the football team. And the captains, Riley Carr, Caitlin Halpin, I know you want to mention the group of ladies in front of you.
Yeah, no doubt. They're kind of those unsung heroes. Every week they kind of – get our student body ready to go, and they keep the crowds going on Friday night. And ladies, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your presence there and what you do for our program. So thank you very much for being here and what you do on a weekly basis.
Got to thank, the fire department. The Zachary community as a whole has just really embraced this program. And, Coach, we just want to wish you the best of luck Friday night in Hinesville.
Well,
at Bronco Stadium.
We will take it. The corral will be rocking on Friday night.
It's a great night to go. No LSU football game that you have to contend with on that night.
You'll be ready to get out of the house, after all the Thanksgiving festivities.
It's the only 5A game in town. So.
Well, I can tell you this. You can look around this place right now and
right.
tell that the support we enjoy from our community is tremendous. And I'm very blessed to have the job that I have now, no doubt.
No doubt.
Well, Coach Brewer, best of luck and congratulations on what you guys have done so far.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us tonight.
How about another round of applause for your head football coach, Coach Brewer? We'll take a timeout. Quarterback PJ Cannon will join us here on Louisiana Prep Weekly here inside Schlitz and Giggles underneath the Perkins Road overpass, 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
This is Coach Todd.
This is Louisiana Prep Weekly on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge. This is the Student Athlete of the Week, presented by Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers.
All right, welcome back to Louisiana Prep Weekly, live from Schlitz and Giggles here underneath the Perkins Road overpass. It is time to welcome in the star of the show, ladies and gentlemen, three-year starter for the Zachary Broncos secondary. How about a nice round of applause for quarterback P.J. Cannon? PJ, my first question for you, it could be your fellow members in the secondary or your defense. Talk to me about the bond you guys have and how that helps you on Friday nights.
Well, Braylon Jones is one of the funniest people in the secondary, and he always brings life to the secondary, even though we're down or, kind of inexperienced in the backfield. But he just brings that umph that we need to come to practice every day and not making practice, everything is boring or whatever. So it brings a pretty good impact.
That's always good to have someone that can make the jokes. We got Jimmy's the funniest guy in our show.
That's because of my accent, but that's okay. A little bit of information on P.J. Cannon. He's a three-year starter at cornerback for the Broncos with a 3.0 GPA. He's a two-sport star in football and baseball, which we love because we hate when kids focus on one sport, and I think that's really helped them. In baseball, as a sophomore, P.J. was a first-team all-district player, all-metro, all-state. As a junior, he was first-team all-district and all-metro, playing second base. And in football, all-district as a junior and also all-metro. My first question for you is playing two sports. A lot of times now, kids want to focus on playing one, and coaches pressure you into playing one. How has playing one sport helped you in the other sport?
I say it's helped a lot throughout my years. Some days in baseball are just worse than others, and the mental part of it, it all comes to you having to overcome what you did and going 0-3 for one game and then having to come back the next game because there's always another one. And just like you're getting beat in secondary, you have to be able to overcome something really fast. So that's what baseball has really taught me.
So the mental side of it is basically it goes from both of them. Like you said, getting beat on one play, put that behind you because it's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, I mean, everybody gets beat. You got to put it behind you, go to the next play. You go 0-3 in baseball, you may come up that fourth time in the bottom of the seventh with two runners on, down by a run or so, and you have to get that hit. So that mental part is really, really tough. You talk about practicing your teammates and stuff. As a cornerback, getting beat, it's going to happen. And you got a couple good ones to go up against every day. And Doug Coleman, who's one of the top leaders in the state in receiving yards, Chiron White and some of those guys. So I'm sure there's quite a battle going on at practice every day. Sometimes you beat them, sometimes they beat you, and that's the way good teams develop.
Yes, sir. It's a constant battle between me and Doug. I mean, you have to give it to him. He's the best wide receiver in the state, in my opinion. And Chiron, he's just like Doug. I think he's going to be another star in the making also. And Shropshire and all of them, they're going to be great. R.J. Newton, they bring a different element, each one of them. So it's just great having them and going against them every day, making me better as a person and on and off the field.
P.J., over the last, 3 years, I guess, you know, kind of since you've been a starter, you guys have progressively made trips in the postseason, going a little bit further. And how is that helped you guys, I guess, build some confidence in knowing where you guys can go and the potential this team has, but also kept you hungry knowing that just that next step is just right there?
Well, we preach in the summer to always go, just keep going, keep fighting. And the semifinal last year really hurt a lot, and it really meant for us this year to really make a statement to we have to keep fighting and don't let that semifinal loss be the make us, you know, and we just keep grinding every day and basically just trying to get in the dome at the end of the day.
Do you feel like you have unfinished business?
Yes, sir, most definitely. We have a lot to do. Like people say we did this and that, but it all matters when we're in the dome and got a ring on our finger.
Kind of motivating force in those hot two-a-days and, you know, at boot camp or three-a-days at boot camp if y'all did one this year, and all the summer workouts and all the butt chewings that your coaches give you and all that, it kind of motivates you towards that finish. I'm going to say something. I don't even know where Coach Brew is anymore, but he's going to be impressed by this. This is the type of young man P.J. Cannon is. I ask him right off the bat, is there anything you want to talk about or stay away from? And his response was, I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about my teammates. So that there kind of tells you the type of young man and the type of character he has. So now, talk about you guys. Talk about the men up front, your secondary, your linebackers. Talk about the whole defense. so they're all hearing for you to call their name out. Look at
it. Well, I just thought I was a big kid. He's just a big baby to me. he's always have a different attitude every day. You wouldn't know where to go with him. And then you have Terrell Turner. He's a big goofball, and Blake Anderson. And then you got Aaron Celestine on defensive line. He brings like I said, all of them have a different element that they bring to the table, and that's what makes us the Zachary Broncos. And Larry, I think he's upcoming, and Donovan Perkins. Well, him just being the linebacker that we actually need and be able to hold down the front is amazing.
Now, has he been out? Donovan's been out. He's back now, though,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir, he is. And Herbert Cummings. Those two are just like two peas in a pod. And then Lindsey, wherever he is, he always bringing something to the table also.
It really seems like you guys have a good attitude about things. You mentioned a lot of guys keeping an atmosphere kind of light, guys that are joking around, but know certainly when to be serious and when to get down to business. That balance kind of kept you guys, I guess, when times are not as great, kind of kept things in perspective.
Yeah, we try to stay away from being so uptight, and that's, we just play loose, and then when them coming to practice and having a good time and actually enjoying the game, we don't even feel like we're playing football. We're out there being with our brothers.
Now, on Friday nights, at a handful of times I've been able to get out there, you guys have a ton of support. Can you talk to me about what you see when the stands are packed, when you know you got friends and family and those that are supporting you, and parents of teammates there watching and cheering you guys on?
Yeah, it's great. The fan base is amazing. I think it's the best in the nation, to be honest. And they always, every Friday is always a different story. They're always getting loud, and it's never a dull moment. And the little kids even look up to us, and that makes our day, to be honest.
Can you give us your best impression of Coach Brewerton? Something that's comical that he does, but look, it's gotta be clean for radio now.
Not the halftime.
You remember, you are on live right now, so can you give us an impression? Some of his favorite sayings?
Period. It's always after something that he means. He puts a big emphasis on the period word.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your future. Obviously, you're going to have an opportunity to go on to the next level, whether it be baseball, football, academically. You're taking care of your business, obviously, with a 3.0 GPA. What do you see in the future for PJ Cannon?
Well, I pray to God that I could receive a football scholarship and be able to continue my 4 years at a four-year university. And
well, you know, Coach Cassar is not going to like that.
No, I wouldn't mind playing baseball at all. It wouldn't. I just think I would be better off at playing football. And
right.
That's just what my heart has told me. I put a lot of thought into it, and then that's where my heart has told me to go.
Any people you'd like to thank before we go to a break who's had an impact on your life or affected you, how you've grown up to be a fine young man that you have?
I thank God, first off, and I thank my mom and my dad, my grandma, my grandpa, even my little sister, always standing there with me.
There you go.
And the whole Bronco coaching staff, the cheerleaders, all of them, they always,
there you go,
always keeping me up, even when I'm down.
See, that's a smart man right there. Mention the cheerleaders, always.
Oh, of course.
He's got it together, Bruce. I'm telling you.
What are you going to miss most, PJ, as far as when you graduate? What are you going to miss most about your time as a Zachary High athlete and student athlete?
Just being with the fellas. Being around, those are probably the most amazing group of people that I've ever been around. And coming to practice every day and going to film and being in boot camp was where we – learn our character about a lot of people, and walking around the hall, seeing on game day everybody telling you have a good game, this and that. It's just I feel loved, and that's the way how I like it to feel.
Well, it's something special, and it's something that I know that we've talked to numerous amount of players, talked to Jimmy, as far as from a coach's perspective. When it comes down to it, you got guys who are probably going to be friends for life. So it's a special thing. Congratulations again on what you guys have been able to do, man, and thanks so much for spending some time with us tonight.
Thank you.
How about another round of applause, everybody, for PJ Cannon, Zachary High quarterback. We'll take a timeout. We'll talk about some horseshoes when we return. It's Louisiana Prep Weekly, 104.5, 104.9, ESPN Baton Rouge.
This is Louisiana Prep Weekly on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Welcome back to Schlitz and Giggles underneath the Perkins Road overpass. Cade Wozniak, Jimmy Roy. Top lack on assignment tonight in Prairieville.
I hope he's listening. He's texting us throughout the show. I just texted him back to make sure he's listening. So,
yeah, he sent me where he is, so I have that location on file. Coach David Brewerton joins us as Zachary getting ready to host Hanville in the 5A quarterfinals this Friday night, and good crowd expected, as this has been a very exciting time to be a Zachary Bronco fan.
Without a doubt. Look, and a great crowd tonight here. We want to thank the Zachary community for coming out and representing your Broncos, supporting your team. Wish every one of you have a safe and happy holidays or Thanksgiving. But Coach Brew,
hey,
you got something for us? I see.
I do. I do. Every week we tape you guys' show afterwards, and I know that you know y'all meet at different hydration locations and get ready to go for that post game stuff. And boy, every week, Jimmy, I want to thank you and Kate. Y'all get on there and talk about the Broncos and the win they had and how wonderful it is. And then that third guy comes on and says, yeah, but they did this or they did that or they got lucky in this and they did that. And old Black, man, he brings up that part every week. Yeah, but. And boy, our defense goes nuts because some reason he talks about our defense. So tonight, the lucky horseshoe that Todd Black talks about all the time that the Broncos must have, we want to present a Columbia Blue horseshoe to you guys and make sure old Todd gets that.
We will definitely take it.
And the golden horseshoe that he talks about, we're going to go ahead and keep that one a couple of weeks, hopefully.
Hey, you never know when you may need it.
You're right. I'll keep it. So this will be tucked down in my shoe this Friday night, and hopefully we won't need it, but maybe we do. So, but thank you guys so much for having Zachary on tonight. We really appreciate what you all do for high school football and high school sports in general. And the Bronco Nation is very happy to be here tonight. So thank you all again.
And we appreciate you. And I know we can get on Brew and he can get on us. It's a lot of fun. Great relationship. Maybe the most important person here are two of them tonight.
Right. Yep.
Your wife, Casey.
Yeah, no doubt.
And the little man, Gable.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, nobody really understands what a coach's wife goes through until they're there. So thank you, and I know you want to thank them.
Yeah,
and all the coaches' wives.
No doubt. I was about to say, you better find all those
guys. All of them. See, we have a couple tables of them. Thank you for putting up with this man and for allowing your husbands to do what they do for these kids today.
No question about that. No question. They do put up a lot of time, and a lot of times we spend more time with other people's kids than we do our own kids. And so, Casey, thank you very much for everything that you put up with. And, you know, when the football season ends, she says, yes, football season. Hey, now we can hang out. And that's when the duck season starts, right after the football season. So she got to deal with that too. So
people don't realize this in high school now. It's a year-round job.
No question.
There's not much of an off season because probably the first week back in January you go straight to the weight room, and then you go into condition things after school, pass drills, those type things. So people just really don't understand what they sacrifice.
Yeah, and a big support staff along with it. You got alumni, you got the members of the fire department. What's on the menu this week?
Mike, what's on the menu?
It better be that chicken, baby.
Chicken.
What happened to that chicken?
What happened to the lucky pork chop? That's all I heard about for three or four weeks.
Chicken. We played our best ball
chicken.
When Kimball and the boys fire up the chicken quarters, so we got to have that again this week.
Okay.
Got to happen.
Chicken quarters it is.
Chicken quarters it is. One quick question, bro.
Yeah.
I know how long we have, Kay? 3 minutes left. Would you accept the West Side Challenge if they tried to schedule you?
Ooh, that is a difficult question right there. I hear that West Side, if they make it through their side of the bracket, will be on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field for the Texas State Championship. So maybe we can hook it up after their season's over with. You
That's
know.
Right.
Well, Brew, people in here looking at me like I'm nuts.
Hey, me too. They're like, what the heck is he talking about? But Josh is in the house tonight, first time. And Juice, of course, he's always here. But we want to thank them for coming out tonight. But, Brew, anything before we go?
Where are the Broncos in the house tonight? We got to do something here before we get finished now. All you players, you ready to roll? Here we go. Give me two claps and a Ric Flair. There you go, baby. There you go.
You got to love it. You got to love it. Coach Brew's the best at it, man. We appreciate all of Zachary coming out tonight. Coach Brew, Zachary Broncos, good luck Friday night against Hanville. It should be a great one. Great weather. Get out there and support them.
Absolutely. Coming up next, we got the championship of the Maui Invitational right here on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge. Programming note, don't forget, Catholic High on the road against Evangel. You'll hear that. A 6:45 p.m. pregame.
Oh,
7 o'clock kickoff right here on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge. Also, we'll have a Louisiana Prep preview show presented by State Farm, locally by Agent Brian Moe at 6 o'clock. Get you ready for the weekend at hand, or the week at hand, with the quarterfinals on the non-select side, the semifinals on the select side. And U-High and Parkview Baptist move to Eagle 98.1. That's Eagle 98.1, 7 o'clock on the dot. We'll get you started with Jordy Collada on the call for that. Looking forward to a great week of a lot of great prep football games in the area. Just a handful of games left. And as you mentioned, the only 5A game in the area is Zachary and Hanville. This should be a real good one. I'm about to put that up right by Todd's mic on Friday.
Yeah, we're going to have to hang this up. We'll take a picture with it, post it on the website. But the Calico Evangel, the first time Calico has been on the road that far.
Yeah.
Never been to Evangel, never been to the Shreveport area in the playoffs.
What's the health of Clyde Edwards-Elair?
I do not know. I do not know that. It's going to be an interesting matchup. Byron Dawson, the head coach at Evangel, is an ex-LSU defensive tackle who I coach with at Redemptorist. They're very good up front, going to play a lot of man-free on defense, do a lot of things offensively, formation-wise, run different schemes throughout the game. They'll come out and run one scheme for one series, one for another, so it gives you a lot to prepare for. It's going to be an interesting matchup up there for Coach Weiner and his group.
It should be. We will see if the Bears look to make their first trip back to the Dome in, what, since 1990, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
It's been a little while.
And I'm going to be on assignment. I'm going to miss Friday night.
Just Todd and I. We'll hold it down.
That's right.
For Coach Brewerton, for P.J. Cannon, Zachary Broncos, Todd Black, Jimmy Roy, I'm Cade Wazan. We'll see you on Friday, Louisiana Prep Weekly, presented by GMFS on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Go Broncos!
As football fans, Raising Cane's believes